This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. The Lord warned, the Lord sent judgment. The Lord promised the remnant they would be gathered and returned. Now let us know, he will return. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 19th day of January, and we are 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 13, verse 16, Jeremiah chapter 46, verses 13 through 28, and the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 46. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to check out the latest articles by The Watchman. You can read No Classification, Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracies. That's an advertisement for the book Steal the Darkness, Ever Learning But Not Knowing the Truth. Wisdom of the world, knowledge, and always learning doesn't mean you really know the truth. The apostle warned us of the last days. This is the furthest or final or end of the days which humans live in, here defined as the days which God has given man. Also, check out The Night is Far Spent in America, a message from the Watchman. And it's a special message, and included in this are seven paramount truths for Christians in these last days. In America, there are works of darkness, and as children of the light, we must cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We work in the night, having the light of the world in our hearts. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman or listen to the radio shows. And now I welcome in The Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Forgot to tell them to where they can listen.
Tell who, where, what could listen?
Oh.
Oh, to the show?
Yeah.
Just go to the front of Warn-USA and or Dana Glenn Smith. You'll find our player as well as all of the links and everything else you need to know. So you can go there. And today is Friday. We got a winter storm warning. It's not a watch. They're not watching for it. This is a warning now, which means it's on the way. So, at any rate, I don't know. They were talking about 8 inches of snow. Of course, that's down here, up on top of the mountain over here. Might be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we were sitting at 50 degrees today. And we got
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and we've got more than a foot of, about 3/4 of a foot of snow coming. And it was 50 degrees today. Isn't that? that's the way it is here, it can be warm and nice, and I remember many times here, after a show I'll be out looking at the stars and everything, and it's beautiful and it's nice out, and this is, I'm speaking being in the winter, and it just feels great, and then within 24 hours it's colder than snot. below zero, cold, freezing.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I remember going out after that happened and think, what happened to my weather? It was just, just last night I was, it was beautiful out. But, things around here can change so fast. And so at any rate, we got a lot of things flowing around, a lot of things going on here. But, the biggest thing that, that's happening around here, all the Democrats and all the liberal fodder mills out there, they're the same. I don't even pay any attention to them anymore. I don't care what they do, what they say. I count them as dung. That's what it says in the Bible. All things are counted as dung compared to Christ. That's right. All things are dung. So at any rate, they said, I forgot who it was, one of the big mucky mucks of the Dems were supposed to meet with Trump to try to avoid a shutdown. So who knows what's going on? Who knows? Hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's just one of them things. But, I had forgotten when you mentioned earlier tonight that happened under Obama's watch.
Yeah, the shutdown, yeah.
And I could never understand why they just couldn't pass something and be done with it. Why do they have to go through this rigmarole?
Who knows?
I know. Politics in Washington, Washington, everything is just like, they were so stunned at so many things that were going on, that was going on because of Trump. But come to find out, they've got a new investigation going, this thing on what Obama knew and what the Obama administration did as a result of the Democrat study, paper on Trump and Russia, which was it was totally fabricated. And the guy that did it said that he didn't like Trump to begin with.
Yeah, so why are they listening to him?
So at any rate, so the Democrats thought it was good as gold, and they still believe it. And but at any rate, what happened was the Obama administration took it and used that information, and they actually put surveillance on Donald Trump in his tower. Remember when he said that was going on?
Yeah, and people said he was lying. And
yeah, well, it really was going on. He was right.
Yeah.
And now they've got it in the in the committee, whatever it is, the committee it is that initially looked at it, released it to all of Congress, and they're not telling the public, but some of the Republicans that had seen it were just absolutely flabbergasted that this went on. So who knows what that's going to do. But, this is something new. I mean, under Obama, how many times do we talk about some of his tactics and his people? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, this is some more of them. And so nothing's new. And Soros came out today, too, and said it's not going to be long before the EU goes into bankruptcy and going to fall because they can't hold it together. So who knows? Well, even Germany, one of the reasons that they would be saying that is because Merkel's the one that held up the EU. She was always in back of that. She was always the one that was pushing for immigration. Well, she's having trouble staying in power and keeping her government together. So the people that she needs to be on her side are having second thoughts, and they're looking at having a whole new election now over in Germany to get rid of her. And many in her party now are starting to look at a time without Merkel. And I would say, good riddance, Merkel. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't bother me over here, but if I was over in Germany, I would have definitely said, get out. But, I mean, it's a mess over in Europe right now because of this.
I know.
And they're not all a mess because you have a few countries that refuse to receive immigrants in. And I forgot which one it was that said we'll only take Christians because they weren't going to be swamped with a bunch of Muslims over there that wanted to take them over. You know, and this is where...
That's really tragic because they are hell-bent on destruction.
Well, you know, this is globalism in its finest hour, though. Globalists, you know, believe in a global government, and they don't like any kind of independent national identity. And they want a global identity and a global, you know, kind of an easy-peasy religion that everybody can get along with and a lot of other things. You know, that's about the way it is.
Excuse me.
And I seen the headline of an article, and they're a conservative site and everything, but it was, you know, about North Korea and... what are we doing having them have the Olympics in North Korea? You know, I mean, you know, with all the stuff that, you know, I mean, we were going to be at war with them, and now all of a sudden we want to have the Olympics there? How stupid is that?
Now, that should never have happened.
Yeah. And so that's on the minds of quite a number of people as well. And, of course... You know, now, you see, they even got Pence over there. He's going to lead the you know, the Olympic team. And so, yeah.
I don't think America should even be over there, to tell you the truth.
No, they shouldn't. I surely wouldn't send my vice president over there.
No.
You know, in recent memory... I don't think we've ever had any of our big mucky mucks in North Korea.
Well, Clinton went over there to get two gals free, two news reporters free. Remember that?
Yeah, but he wasn't president at the time.
No. I don't know. Did Nixon go over there or somebody else one time? I can't remember.
No, Nixon was China.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, he wouldn't have gone to North Korea at that time anyway because the Korean War got done in 50-something.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have, you know, it would have been too close to the end of the war for anybody, any American to go over there. So at any rate, that's the way things are, I guess. You could say that. This is January 1st, 2018, and we're still alive. Everything's... plugging along, and the world hasn't blown up yet. The Lord hasn't come,
Oh, you said 2000. It's January 1st, 2018.
Yeah, that's what I said. January.
Yeah.
2018. In other words, the whole idea. We're January 2018, and we haven't been blown up yet. Everything's still going on.
Thank God.
Well, you know, I mean, if we don't repent, I wouldn't, you know, you'd be kind of careful about understanding the thanking God part, because when his wrath hits, if you ain't on the right side of the aisle, well.
It isn't going to be fun.
Yeah.
Won't be fun for any of us anyway, but...
Well, you know...
But he said he would take care of his people.
Yeah, he did.
And we can count on that.
We can. And, so at any rate, trying to think here. Well, we are always glad when it hits Friday around
here.
Yes,
we are.
And this week has been one busy week for us. You may not think, well, what do you got to do all day? Well, you'd be surprised. And yep, that's all there is to it. You would be surprised. And we're working on setting up for the next book. Our other book, Steal the Darkness, is, you know, we are getting the word around to people. We've sent the book out to a number of our the people that we had from the show that we knew and things like that. And the last of those, clear on the other side of the world, got his book today. He was excited. Shout out over to you. You know who you are. And so at any rate, if you do have a book that we sent you, you need, and I just assumed, since you wanted the book, you were going to read it. So read it, and be sure to leave a comment on the book, the Steal the Darkness book sales page, you know, where it is on Amazon, and down below it says leave a review. Yeah, leave a review down there. And if you can't get there to do that, then write your comment, you know, in an email and send it to me, and I'll post it on the sales page. I mean, the media page for it. Because, you know, a lot of the people that are doing the promo for the book and everything want to see more of those. They say we need to have 50 comments on that. And I've looked at a lot of books. I've never seen 50 comments on any of them, but maybe I'm looking at the wrong books. And so at any rate, you know, I have left a number of comments on various products I got from Amazon. And but see, you know, the thing that's irritating about the internet, everybody wants you, you know, when you get on the social sites or whatever you're doing, they always want you to have they always want you to follow everybody. And then they also want you to invite all your people from some other platform and import all those names. And, you know, it's just like, you really don't need all that information, you know.
Exactly.
And why do I need to follow everybody on the face of this earth for? Just to make you happy? But that's the way social media online works, and it's kind of irritating in a way. But at any rate, there's a lot of things I could tell you about the security and really the thing that is going on and how this is not going to bode well. Because when the Antichrist comes, all he has to do is take over Facebook, and he'll know pretty much everything about everybody. Because of the logarithms there, he can take over Google and know the same thing. They'll know what you buy, where you go, how you do it. They'll know who your friends are, what groups you were in. Yes, 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 yes. That's what they can do today. That's what Facebook and Google do. That's what Twitter does as well, and a lot of the others. And they know exactly what's going on, and they know more about you than you can shake a stick at. And it's not good, folks. It's not good that we allow these big, monstrous companies to start dictating and knowing everything about us.
Yep.
So there's going to come a time when this thing starts going down and the dark dude shows up, that it'll be before that that we will go silent. And you won't find any trace of us anywhere online. At least not in the regular, legitimate way. Because we'll be gone. Poof. We'll just leave a little note. Gone in the rapture.
Yeah. But we'll really be down the road in a cave.
Oh, well, it's going to be a good cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heated one.
Yeah, we won't be able to have internet piped into it, because then we'll know where it's at. So we're going to have to get a, you know, do something. I don't know. You know, when my buddy and I, I used to go over to his house when we were kids. And, of course, we did a lot of hunting and fishing and everything like that. His folks did, too. And they had a big, it was probably about a 200-gallon water tank that open water tank that you find livestock drinking out of. and they had a pump attached to it, and it's down in their basement. And it's a kind of a different kind of a basement, so it wasn't like a regular house basement, but it was a basement down there of theirs, and it was filled with minnows. And so we'd sit down there and chat and do various odds and ends, but, you know, he had darts down there. So we would bombard the minnows with those darts.
You were naughty.
And, yeah. It was kind of like playing checkers, you know, or one of those things.
Did you ever get any?
Yeah, unfortunately we did, but then that's okay. We fed them to the cat.
Yeah, that works. The cat probably enjoyed them.
Well, they were suckers, and then, you know, things like that. They're shiners, rather, that you go fishing. I mean, at any rate, that's life in the fast lane out in the middle of the winter a long time ago as kids. So.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if you were in a survival mode, you'd probably eat the minnows, even if they were shiners.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, well, you know, you can even eat worms and a lot of other kinds of things.
You have to fry them really crispy for me. I wouldn't let them. Oh, that'd be like eating an oyster and things sliding. I think they're unclean. I don't think you can eat them.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that if you had a good barbecue sauce, that would help a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We're gonna get going on here. Do you got anything before we?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do this. Okay.
I'll see you on the other side.
Yep. Okay. We are Sound of the Trumpet, Part 7, Gathering the Remnant. You know, and that's the idea, to be gathered. And, of course, there's one thing that we keep talking about, and that is the fact that whenever God sends judgment, he always gathers the remnant. And and in this one, and this is during the time of Jeremiah, of course. This is after the fall of Judah. Now, this is the remnant that's left. And see, the people wanted to leave Israel and go back into Egypt. Of course, you know, they have a history with Egypt, as you well know. So you can understand that when their initial, you know, shock wore off and they had successfully lost all the land. Well, they would never have lost it if they hadn't have stuck with the Lord, see. I mean, the Lord had a covenant with them. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, okay, now what do I want to do? Do I want judgment and fire and harshness, or do I want God's blessing? Oh, I know. Give me harshness and judgment. I'll take that. Okay. So you go serve other gods. Well, see, they don't think of it that way. They just, you know, backsliding, falling away from God is never that obvious. If it was, then America wouldn't be where she's at. And, you know, it's not like every person in America is a stinking heathen. Although America today really does seem like a heathen. Just browse through all the articles that I go through every week. And it's just disgusting. And then there's all the stuff they don't write. And you know what goes on. Now, Jeremiah 42, there's about 16 verses here. We'll try to. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kerah, and Jezna, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Now see, this is the remnant that's left. And whenever there's judgment, there's always a remnant left. And, you know, when you have somebody like Babylon that took over Judah, they are going to leave some of the poor and others in the fields, and they're going to leave them alone. They're going to leave them in their houses, and they're going to make sure they're, you know, they do what they do, because they will be taking care of the fields and given a portion to Babylon. And, of course, there's always that payment that has to be made. And of course, they set in a king that is usually a puppet king and, you know, controls things like that. And as long as the people don't cause too much trouble, you know, they go ahead and let it go. Now, Rome was pretty much the same way. And they conquered the known world back when they were running things. And they accepted a lot of cultures, including the Greek culture, which influenced the Roman culture quite a bit. And as long as people would say, okay, you know, Rome beat us, we're going to do what they say now, and they would leave them alone, you know. I mean, they would leave them alone to serve their gods, to do their business. Rome had roads, and they could do their commerce. And so that's the way it works. So, you know, the bottom line of it is that there is that initial shock when you get lost and that warring. But after that's over with, there is a remnant that's left, period. And there would be a remnant, you know, in America, just like there, you know, in any other war, any other thing that goes on, there is a remnant left. Well, this remnant, you know, wants Jeremiah, who is a prophet. Now, see, it's kind of funny now, because they didn't listen to him for several decades, probably about three. They didn't listen to him at all. Matter of fact, the high priest and even the prophets that, you know, of Israel, as well as the political establishment, the king, they didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to hear his message. So now all of a sudden, after it's all said and done, and there is a remnant left, and everything he said come to true, now they're coming up to him, and they're saying, pray for us. Now, see, that sounds really good. But the big problem you have is that there is an ulterior motive here. And they said that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now, see, this sounds good. Okay, Jeremiah, we're the remnant, we're left, we've learned our lesson, we're, you know, pray for us that the Lord will show us his way. And this is kind of funny, because Jeremiah's been telling them for a long time what they need to be doing, and they never did it. They didn't listen, and so they got judgment. So now they're coming back and saying, okay, Jeremiah, listen, you know, we want you to pray for us, okay? And of course, you can read between the lines, Jeremiah, you know, under their breath, we really do need your help here. You know, we admit we may not have listened to God before, but, you know, we're going to listen this time. Yes, sir, Jeremiah, you just stand up and go to the Lord for us, and we're ready to go. Whatever the Lord says, we're going to do it. Yeah, right. Yeah. I've heard that even from converts, you know, when they get into Christianity. I've heard that one. Oh, yes. Oh, dear God. You don't know, do you? So then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass, whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I'll keep nothing back from you. Now, see, this is where they're in trouble, okay? Because if you don't want to know the will of the Lord, keep your mouth shut. You know, I mean, then maybe, okay, I would say with a very slight chance, you might be able to get away with the saying, well, we didn't know. But it's kind of like getting caught by the cops, you know, when you break a law. Ignorance of law does not negate anything. You still broke the law, and you're going to pay for it, even if you didn't know the law existed. So, you know, then they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." Now see, that whole thing is a sales job. Because they didn't mean that for a second. And, you know, it's just like when you go to the altar. In the old days, you'd go to church, you had an altar, and you went to the altar. Now, you see, you got the preacher there, you got his wife there, you got the assistant pastor there, or the youth pastor and their wife, and you got the old saints that always come up. So, you know, when you go on up the altar and you're going to repent or whatever, you know, all the old saints come over to lay their hands on you and pray with you and cry with you. And see, they don't know your heart, you know. You could go up there and be wailing away, and they'll be up there praying for you and wailing away with you, and you all think that you're doing a good job, and oh man, he's really repented, and the next thing they know, within a week, you're back doing the thing you shouldn't have been doing in the first place. Now you see, when you go to the altar, it's not just a weep and cry and pray, and it's to be serious. You know, the law says, don't make a vow unto the Lord unless you really are going to mean it. The Lord says, don't swear by heaven or hell. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, whatever it is. If you're going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, okay. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Or, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Or, Lord, I don't understand why you're making me do it. You can even ask him a question like Habakkuk did. You know, Lord, why are you sending people more evil than we are to judge us? We're not as bad as they are, and why are they coming to judge us? The Lord answered him. But Habakkuk said, I'm going to go sit before the Lord and wait to see what he will say when I'm reproved, he said. He expected to be reproved. He expected to be rebuked. He expected to have the Lord say something to him. He didn't expect it to be good. So when you get before the Lord, even if you're in a closet, make sure your heart is clear and you're praying your heart and you really want something solved. Because the Lord doesn't play games. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're trying to, like we say, cut bait and switch. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Now 10 days, when we look at 10 days, you may not think that's nothing, but 10 is a full number, number of completion. You had, you know, 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins, for instance. You had, you know, this, I guess you could say, which one are you, the wise or the foolish? So the word of the Lord come. And it came, rather. And so Jeremiah called Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest. Now, there wasn't very many of them left, but they all showed up now. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. Now, you see, this is the thing here. The minute he came back with that, see, there's no excuse now. Okay? Now, see, you got in that position because you were judged. Your nation was judged. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't repent. You wouldn't turn to the true and living God. You just continued to do what you'd always done. And you had gotten away with it. And judgment never seemed to come. So you just played your cards out. And you come to find out that the Lord called your hand because he sent judgment. And now, after judgment's over with, you should have learned your lesson. But no, you went up to play the game again, to seek his prophet, say, we're going to do everything you're going to do. Well, you didn't do it before. Now, see, the Lord, our God, who sent his Son, and his Son on this earth, said, if they obey my words, This is in Scripture in the New Testament. They will obey your words. Very, very important, okay? So if you're a pastor and you're preaching the Word of God and giving them the Word of God, if you got a congregation that won't pay attention to the Word of God and won't obey it, they're not going to obey your voice. They're not going to obey your words. They're not going to pay attention to them. I mean, this is what the Lord said. This is the way it is. And so when Jeremiah went to the Lord, you know, the Lord's not up there on the throne. Well, thank the Lord, you know. Thank the Lord that, you know, they finally came to their senses and they're going to come to me. And yeah, no, the Lord knew. See, the Lord will say, okay, this is what I want. And he knew, he would know ahead of time, okay? And this is, as a Christian, when you go before the Lord, he knows your heart. He knows what you're going to do. And he will wait and see what you're going to do. You see, because with the Lord, it's easy to say, Lord, forgive me, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. And oh, blah, 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 blah. See, that's exactly what the children of Israel are saying here. The children of Israel did run into quite a bit of problems. Now, see, after 70 years in captivity, the remnant that came out of Babylon, they were the ones that were willing to listen. That's why Hosea the priest was sent along with them in order to teach them the law, because they'd all forgotten the law living in Babylon, but they learned it. You see? They had spent 70 years away. 70. We talk about 7 being a perfect number. We call that God's number. So 70 years was the fullness of God's judgment. And God brought them back. Yeah. And they did a lot better. They didn't have the big temple that they did, but the Lord said, don't despise the day of small things. In other words, you're not going to have the big one. This is what you got. Be happy with it. You know, in all essence, you are blessed to have the Lord God who brought you back. He didn't have to bring you back. His mercy brought you back. His grace brought you back. And you'd think, well, God didn't have grace. And sure, he had grace. He could have killed them all. The reason he didn't, he had mercy and his grace. He allowed him to get out of there. There's a remnant because of his mercy and grace. God has always been full of grace. He's always been full of mercy. Now, so the Lord says, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Now, see, that's quite a statement. He says, I've repented of the evil that I have done to you. He's not going to do it anymore. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that you may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. See, now this is a blessing. In spite of the judgment, and in spite of the fact that Babylon was in control, he said, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Why? Because he could show him favor. See, and Jeremiah standing there talking to him is a perfect example of God's ability. See, in the middle of judgment, when Babylon attacked, Jeremiah was in the center of Jerusalem. And they didn't harm him or had a hair on his head. See, God had told him, you're going to be safe. And those with him. So, you know, they didn't think about that, apparently. See, because God is able to show them favor even when the land came under judgment. And he says, I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. So God's mercy is going to be shadowed out, poured out, in the actions that actually the king of Babylon and Babylon will do. In other words, they'll treat him nicer. They'll allow him to stay. They'll, you know, actually prosper under this rule. But see, then here's the warning. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have the hunger of bread, there we will dwell. Now see, that's what they were going to do in the first place, okay? That was their goal in the first place. And what they wanted was Jeremiah to go to the Lord and come back with a message that said, go ahead and go into the land of Egypt. That's what they expected, what they wanted, because that's what they're going to do. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go in to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine where you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. Now see, the same Nebuchadnezzar that defeated Judah here, he's the same one that defeated Egypt. He was pretty strong at the time. So, they went anyway. And later on, we catch up with them in Jeremiah 44, 1 through 6. Now see, this is what this word says. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal, Tophanes, and Noph, and the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, upon the city of Judah. Behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. In other words, nobody knew these gods, but they got them from the nations and they decided to serve them. Now, see, you may think it's a light thing for Israel to have served other gods, but it's not. For we know the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, Christian, hear me. Now, in the modern world, it's not unknown for Christians to be told by their churches, and they've been doing this since time immemorial, that you're not saved by the law, so you don't have to pay attention to the law. But I'm here to tell you that you better start paying attention to the law so you know what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Because we have one Lord, our God and Father, and His Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. We are to serve no other gods. Now, we're not, in America, you know, a theocracy. We're supposed to be a democracy, actually a constitutional republic, which was based on the Old Testament. That's why we used to call it Judeo-Christianity. But thanks to the modern world and America and all of our knuckleheaded politicians, we've allowed many other people to come in here, foreigners bringing their gods. And if there was any reason in this country, and we not only have their gods in here, you have witches and witchcraft and every other kind of evil. Now, of course, you will tell me that we have a country where people can worship how they want to, and that people can just come in here and we can fill it with every kind of pagan and everything's going to be fine. No, it's not. I'm here to tell you it won't. Now, see, really, America, you know, your blessings are going to fall right out the window if you don't wake up. Because God does not tolerate witchcraft and other gods. And this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, He does have mercy toward you today. But He did say, don't have other gods. So if we get in the churches, you better make sure you don't have other gods in those churches. But see, we do today. We actually invite Muslims in to preach from the Bema seats where the pastor preaches, and that's anathema. That's unclean. And we have knuckleheaded pastors, even real popular ones, who says that the God of the Muslims is the same as the God of the Christians, and that's a lie out of the pit of hell. And so, in the whole thing and whole essence of it, you better be warned. Now, see, here it says, "Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate." And see, he did send a lot of prophets, and the last one that did the longest work in Judah was Jeremiah. They didn't listen. They got judged. Now, see, I am not the first watchman, and I am not the only one warning. But America, you have had warnings going way back, even before they brought over the Statue of Liberty. You had people that was warning this country. See, and America has slowly progressed to where it is today. And, you know, there is a little more hope today, you could say. Because although everybody hates Trump, you know, he did have a bunch of Christian pastors praying for him. And it was actually a photo op, and it got sent all around. And his cabinet also prays. And there's a number of things that's been going on that would suggest that maybe somebody's waking up. But see, anytime you see a little flicker of a flame and fire, when the fire's starting to die out, you have hope. But then a big downpour of rain can put that little bit of fire out. Now see, we'll just see how far all this goes in this country. But we have far too many people serving far too many other gods for this country to last very long. Now, the final one to determine that will be the Lord. But see, make no mistake, God rises early to warn in an effort to get you, the people, to turn around. And that's why you need to know what the law says. So you'll know, well, hey, this is not right. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Now see, we may not burn incense unto other gods. But see, whenever you have a nation that starts to turn like we've been turning for about 30 years now, and when you've been barrel full of blood from the aborted babies that you've been murdering, and when you begin to teach all your children the abominations that you've been teaching them in your schools, and when you begin to do openly worse than what Sodom does, then you had better watch out. Now see, you can just go your other way, turn off the program, and forget it. And in your lifetime, maybe you won't see judgment. But that doesn't mean judgment isn't coming. God rises early. I've been warning for 20 years, Tower and I have. And, of course, we were warning back in the early portion, too, pre-80s. Nevertheless, wherefore my fury and anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. They are wasted and desolate as at this day. In Jeremiah 46:25, it says, "The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, said, Behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods, their kings, even Pharaoh and all them that trust in them, trust in him, and I'll deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants, and afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. Now see, that's the judgment coming into Egypt. That's why they were told not to go into Egypt. But they win anyway. So then they're told this, "But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and be at rest and ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations wherewith I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished." Now you see, part of this, "I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you," that is forward prophecy. Now, see, in the temporary, up till 70 years, nothing's going to be done. Actually, a little bit before that, because it's Cyrus who actually God sends as his servant to bring down Babylon. And it's Cyrus, Iran, who actually made sure that the temple was rebuilt and Jerusalem was rebuilt and re-inhabited by the Jews. And, of course, that's part of the blessing of God bringing them back, because he said he'd bring them back. See, now this is restoration here. But he says, "I will not leave you wholly unpunished. I'm going to correct you in measure." Now, see, this is one thing you're going to find time and time again. Now, see, he said, "If you would stay where you're at, I would bless you, cause you to grow." But they didn't do that. Instead, they disobeyed and they went down there. Now, see, we fast forward today, and we've had, because of the new covenant and because of the Lord, you know, we have a lot of grace, a lot of measure of grace and forgiveness with the Lord today. Because he's a God of the living and a God of forgiveness, a God of redemption. He's not one to just go willy-nilly and destroy you. And so, when we talk about judgment, serving other gods, you know, Christian, you have a lot of guidance here, but you got to be careful. And if you think that the Lord will just let you go do what we have gotten away with in America for so long, you're wrong. Paul goes through the list of the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit, and he just tells you, if you think that you're people that do these things, you know, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, if they do these bad things, you know. And all the apostles, even at the early church, was reminding them how they ought to walk. That's why they wrote the epistles. And so it's not a free-for-all. Christ died on the cross, and oh goody, I can do whatever I want. That's not true. That's not even correct doctrine. In Jeremiah 23, know, and then this is one of the reasons that there was some trouble. There was trouble. 1 through 8, it says, and this whole thing is really, really interesting. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now that's a prophecy of the Lord. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's his rule and reign is going to happen in the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ and afterward. In his days, Judah shall be saved. In his days, this is the righteous branch. Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now, see, you have both Judah and Israel here. That includes the lost tribes. So this is talking about all of Israel being regathered, as well as the Gentiles. This is the full gathering here, because within, you know, Joseph, we do have Ephraim. And Ephraim is the one that got the blessing, that the same blessing that was given to Abraham, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. These are the Gentile nations as well. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries wherewith I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now that's the gathering, the literal gathering of all of Israel. Now remember Paul saying that Israel is not Israel, physical Israel is not Israel. God is doing a work. There will be no male, female, Jew, or Gentile, but we'll all be one in Christ. But God is going to gather everybody up, and that gathering is going to be greater than the time when Moses came out. Because this is what it says, the Lord liveth, which he said, the days come, saith the Lord, that they will no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. See, that was the largest gathering of Israel that's ever been done. But there's another one coming. And that is when God gathers the house of Israel out of everywhere. Now, this is not after the 70 years. Not by a long shot. See, because at the end of 70 years, we had a problem. It wasn't that big. It was limited. So this is a prophecy of the righteous branch, our Lord, who has already come. A regathering of not just Judah in the land, but all of Israel. Both the lost tribes and the regular tribes, and also the Gentiles who were grafted in. Because we are grafted in, and we are of the same thing that Israel is of. That is the promised seed, which was Isaac. And through that promised seed, the Messiah came. And so Israel hasn't found that righteous, that Messiah yet, but they will. Isaiah 37:31, it says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Now, if you get back into Zechariah at the end, there is a deliverance of the children of Israel during that battle there. But see, there is going to be a final deliverance, and there is going to be a gathering of all together, especially when the Lord comes to set up his kingdom at the millennial reign. But see, the whole idea of this is to discuss and talk about the remnant. Because God has a remnant. He will always have a remnant. And this is where we need to understand that God is going to have a remnant. No matter how bad things are, no matter whether the Antichrist comes, goes, does whatever he does, you know, God's going to have a remnant. And he's going to gather his people. And that's it. And so this is the biggest thing where we find with the enemy wants to destroy any hopes of having a remnant. And he wants to pollute the seed. He wants to destroy the temples of God. He wants to reduce those who are really on fire for God. And he'll do it any way he can. Now see, good thing for you today that God has provided us with his Spirit and his Word, and he's a miraculous working God, because in our weakness his strength is made perfect. In our weakness we can find deliverance, and there is one thing required, just that faith when you come to God. Now, in Jeremiah 51, 5 through 7. Now, it says here, "For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." Now, see, we are fast-forwarding to 70 years. There's a time in the future, and this is what Jeremiah is talking of, that although the judgment came, and when you see the judgment and you see Israel thrown out of the land and you see him thrown into bondage, the enemies will say, well, you know, God has forsaken his people, and now that the people are forsaken and we can do whatever we want to with them. Now, that's exactly what the Arabs think. Because they don't think Israel has an inheritance of the land, but they do. See, and this is what you have to understand. God is not, he's not going to take back what he's given to Israel. He's going to fulfill it. And so Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah is God of the Lord of hosts, though the land was filled with sin. See, although they had sinned, and the land was filled with the sin against the Holy One of Israel because of the gods that they had turned to, and although they went into captivity for 70 years, Israel is still not forsaken, and Judah of their God. And so you have Israel being the northern tribes, which was judged as well, and then Judah fell. So Jeremiah is talking about a time, and this time is in the next verse. He says, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, and he will render unto her recompense. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have been drunken over wine, therefore the nations are mad." Now, you see, that is Jeremiah talking about Babylon. This is Babylon of old. Now, and Israel was to flee out. Later on, he says, "Let Jerusalem come to mind." So they knew they were to go back to Jerusalem. And now, see, flee out of the midst of Babylon. Revelation 18. In the first five verses, we learn about how bad Babylon is and that we're to leave it. Get out of it. And it says, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. We find out about the golden cup in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. We read here that the earth has been drunken and the nations have drunken of her wine. We read in Revelation 17 and 18 that the nations drink of the wine of the cup of the whore. It says, therefore, the nations are mad. You go into Psalm 2, it talks about the nations being mad. At the end of that psalm, it says, kiss the sun, lest he be angry. So while this thing talks to Israel at the time, it also is prophetic, because you find John writing the same thing about Mystery Babylon. And there is going to be a Mystery Babylon, and there is a Mystery Babylon, and the horror of the woman has already thoroughly infiltrated America and the earth in the nations themselves. That's why it's so bad. Lawlessness in Paul's talking of lawlessness, that has already here, and it's you could say that it's not in its fullness as such, but it's pretty bad right now, because we are lawless, and we're not just talking about civil law or social law. We're talking about moral law. That lawlessness is moral code. We have no moral code anymore. Now, the moral code of ISIS was to go through the land, kill, slaughter, rape, and pillage. Now, that's their moral code. Now, see, this is how screwed up it is. And so we're in the world. The world's lawless now. It's going to continue to be lawless. And there's going to come a time, saints, that you're going to need to flee. Now, is America Babylon? It doesn't make any difference whether America is Babylon. Why? Because right now, the whore, Revelation 17 and her cup, has thoroughly drenched the nations with her iniquities. I mean, America has a lot of, and I could list them here, but I'm not going to. If you're a Christian, and if you're not wise enough to know what kind of sins we got out here in America, then it ain't going to help for me to sit here and list them. If you don't know what they are, you get before the Lord and let him tell you. But your nations are already drunk with the wine. And the Lord is going to judge the nations. And at the same time, he's going to be taking care of Israel. And then, of course, you've got the Christians. Now, many of them think they're going to go in the rapture, and they won't be here when this happens. Now, that's good theology. I mean, it's not going to happen, because you're going to be here when this happens. Now, the Lord is coming again, but you all ain't going to be taken out the way you think you are. And you and the Assemblies of God, I know exactly what you believe, because I graduated from your schools, and I'm sorry to tell you that that is wrong. He's coming again. That's, you know, you're right. He's coming again. Many of your churches, he's coming again. Yeah, he is coming again. You got the timing wrong. Now, Jeremiah 51:49-50 says, as Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall. Now, that's the judgment. Okay? That was when Babylon went into to Israel. And that's because of the sins of Israel. So Babylon shall fall. So at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. That's all the earth that are there. They're all going to die. And he says, you that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. And that's exactly what the Jews did. Jeremiah 51:45-46, it says, my people, go you out of the midst of her, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord, and lest your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come in one year, and after that, in another year, shall come a rumor and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. So what we're talking about here, he says, go out of the midst of her, deliver your soul. Do not faint. Don't fear, but get out of there. And see, the big problem that you have is you listen to rumors. And see, you're going to hear a rumor and nothing's going to happen. And so you're going to decide to stay. So then you're going to hear another rumor, another year, and you're still going to decide to stay. And then you have another year, and you've got another rumor. Well, the idea of it is that if you wait, you know, it's going to be too late. Because by the time it happens, there's going to be violence in the land and ruler against a ruler. Now, my friends, let me tell you, that's a civil war. There's going to be violence in the land, ruler against ruler, but there's also, in the middle of that, is going to come Cyrus into the land at Babylon. But see, the idea is get out of her while you can. Don't worry about the rumors. Don't fear. Get out of there. And for the children of Israel, it was to go to Jerusalem. Now see, so what are you going to do in America with all the Christians when this thing starts to go down? Are you going to wait till it goes down? What are you going to do? Well, you better be on top of it praying. But see, when we get back in Revelation 18, it says to flee. Now see, remember, we've got a couple of things. Babylon in the Old Testament was a city. A large city. It was what we call a city-state. It was powerful and it controlled a whole area. But the power was centralized at Babylon. So when Babylon fell, the rest of the region fell. Now see, in Mystery Babylon, in Revelation, that is a major city. That's not a nation. Although many of the attributes, you could say it fits America. And as I've said before, back in the before 1900, at least in my pulpit commentary, which goes way back, the commentators at the time, you know, had Great Britain, a great big country. It was probably even earlier than that. I don't know the exact date that they were done, but they're an old set. And they thought that the UK, Great Britain, was Babylon. And a lot of people would agree with you because of the financial center in Babylon, in the UK. Nevertheless, the bottom line of it is that you have Babylon, flee Babylon, get out of Babylon, don't wait for the rumors. And so we, in America, there's a lot of people that have a lot of ideas on Babylon. And me, I don't worry about, I just don't go there. I don't worry about it. I know what it looks like. I know the types that are there. But I don't worry about it. And I do know, and I have told people, you know, you need to get out of the cities. You need to get as prepared as you can. But if you're going to go, where are you going to go? As Gentiles, you can't go to Israel. If you were a Jew, you could go to Israel. But if you go to Israel now, you're going to be in a major war. That's the first thing that's going to come over there. And that won't be the only war over there, but that will be a big one, and a lot of people get killed. Now in Zechariah 8:11-13, and now if you follow that all the way through to the end of Zechariah, you will run into the portion of the judgment and the war and afterwards. The major battle that is going to end in everything, also the coming of the Lord and also the thousand-year millennial reign, and you're going to find in there where they're going to be keeping tabernacles, etc. Now in Zechariah 8:11 it says, "But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, the heaven shall give their due, and I'll cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. And now see that, you know, there's been times when Israel's been really prosperous and doing good, but this is really fulfilled in the millennium when it's all put together. That's speaking of the remnant, that although you were a curse, in other words, trouble, had a problem, because you disobeyed me, he says, I'm going to save you, and you're going to be a blessing, but don't fear. Be strong. Let your hands be strong. And if we were discussing the remnant, that's what we would say. Be strong. Be full of faith. Open tomorrow with the door of faith. Because it, you know, things are coming that, you know, are not going to like. And, you know, that's just... In Romans 9, verse 22, we're going to read a few verses. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews also, but unto the Gentile. Now you see, Christ came. And, you know, man, including the Jews, were, you know, because of the fall of Adam, you were destined to destruction, you know. It's appointed unto man, and after this, the judgment, period. I mean, there's nothing. And so, you and I are vessels of mercy. In other words, we are here just by the mercy of God. And see, when he first created man, he created man for glory, but we fell. And here, Paul is telling the Romans, it's not just the Jews only, but the Gentiles. And he quotes Hosea 2:23, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Now you see, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her my beloved, which was not my beloved. Now the Gentiles are the ones that were not his people. We never were, but we now are through Christ. And her beloved, that is Israel, you know, we have Israel. And Israel had sinned against God, and he was not a beloved. You know, he was betrothed, but he wound up judged. And so in the very place that it was said that you're not my people, you will be called the children of the living God. There's only one place that would be, and of course that would be Jerusalem. But in the perfect prophecy sense of that, that would be the new Jerusalem. That would be in the millennium. As Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the land of sea, a remnant shall be saved. See, we're always talking remnant, and even dealing with Israel. And so if when we look at Israel, Israel faced judgment, and yet a remnant was saved. Now see, this is the time that we look at in Revelation of the Laodicean church and others. And so, Christians, I'm here to tell you that judgment, as Peter said, will first begin at the house of God. That if we who are saved barely survive, what were the sinners and the ungodly stand? This is where we're at in all of this mix. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And he's going to. Although one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, for you and me, it's a long time, but for the Lord, it's a short time. He's going to finish what he started with. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd have been as Sodom and more like unto Gomorrah. See, that's the remnant. And that's the same thing. You know, the remnant here goes back to Isaiah speaking, of course, warning Israel, warning the children of Israel. You see, because they were known as, you know, the sister to Sodom. And so we had major problems if you were living in Israel at the time, both the northern tribes and southern tribes. Major problems here. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel followed after the law of righteousness, which has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now that's the whole gospel today that he's talking about. And see, Israel followed the law, and it was through the law that they would attain a righteousness that God could deal with only because he also had the sacrifices. But see, that's been replaced by the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross, and it requires faith today, not just the works of the law. So this is the difference. But see, when we follow this up in the New Testament, we find further that God is not done with Israel. Paul finishes this up in Romans chapter 11. And so when we look through a few of them, Revelation 6:9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so, in Revelation 13:10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. Revelation 14:12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, you see, if you look in Revelation, you will find the testimony of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the faith of the saints, and you'll also see the commandments. The Lord himself said in John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, so you make the choice here, but this is what we're looking at for the end of days. These are the marching orders. This is what many pastors in the church don't tell you. And of course, for their part, you know, they've been taught different, you know. But the bottom line of it is, God has great grace and mercy toward those that may not understand all this. Now see, Romans 11 is where you want to be to understand this as well concerning Israel. He says in Romans 11:1, he says, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture says of Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now see, even today, with the new covenant, and having faith and being saved by grace through faith, there concerning the Jews, there's an election of grace. There is that ability for the Jews to come to the Lord right now, all the time, and there has been. And there's going to be a remnant. And of course, we get into verse 21 at that says, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now see, he did that in response to this. Verse 20 is the verse before that. He says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, speaking of Israel. Thou standest by faith, he's speaking to the Gentile church. Be not high-minded, but fear. In other words, don't think that you're, well, you know, all the Jews, you know, they're just broken off and they're no good and they have no chance and we've replaced them. See, that's replacement theology. Right here it tells you, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed that he'll spare not thee. See, this is the problem you have. When pride enters in, all the rest of the stuff, you run into trouble. So in order to understand that, you need to get into Romans chapter 11. That'll help you understand that. All this is coming together. And in all judgment, God does this in order to bring about the people to return to him. And even after judgment, he seeks to bring them unto himself, the remnant that is left. Father, we thank you for your word. Let people understand these words and this message. Open their understanding, feed them, and bless them. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. You know, I think about, as I was listening tonight, I'm thinking, you know, it's best to obey the Lord, for he knows what's best for us and what's good for us to bring us to an expected end.
Yeah.
And we are stubborn and rebellious people, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah. You know, that's true. And whether you're Jew or Gentile, you know, no matter who you are.
That's right.
You know. So at any rate, we thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. We're going to get out of here. Say good night.
Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. And may God bless you richly. Enjoy your Sabbath rest.
Shalom, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.